Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dreams, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Welcome to Living Abundantly with Tanika Patrice Kane. It's Thankful Thursday once again, and tonight I am giving thanks for the truth. No matter what life throws my way, no matter what obstacles I have to face, no matter what frustrations, disappointments, and hurts I feel along the journey, I know that in the end, the truth will prevail. I am thankful for the sacredness of love, for love is its own form of truth, and I am thankful that each day is a chance to start all over again. It is my hope that your week has been reflective, that you've had time to be still and quiet yourself to hear the small voice of truth that resides deep inside of you. When we heed what it has to say, truth never leads us astray. So we are actually having some technical difficulties. We started our healthy relationship series a couple weeks ago, and I have had with me for the last 2 weeks an author and speaker and just all around just sound thinker Derek Saunders, he's actually in queue, but we can't. Well, we're having technical difficulties tonight, so at any point that situation rights itself, we will queue him in. And it has been a very interesting journey. And so for those of you who have been with us since the beginning, and I do believe that we started in May, started doing the series in May, we talked about foundational principles, and all of those things have led us up to this point. And so, you know, we talked about the need for a positive confession and to be able to determine and define where it is that you are. Because, of course, if you don't know where you are, then you will have a hard time being able to adjust the path that you're on so that you can get where it is that you want to be. And that takes us to the next point of, you know, you needing to know where it is that you want to go. You know, so often we just kind of go about life and we're very aimless. We're just kind of living by default. But part of living abundantly is living authentically. And it means that we have to be still and to be quiet and to listen to the voice inside of us that is our authentic truth. It means asking ourselves the hard questions and then listening to that voice that tells us, you know, the answers that we seek. And a lot of times the answers are not the things that we actually want to hear, but they are certainly the things that we need to hear. And so, you know, how that applies to us and the relationship thing is, you know, we have to kind of look back and see our patterns. And I mentioned, maybe it was last week or possibly the week before, you know, how I actually ended up on this journey, and it was just looking at different areas of my life and seeing how I was able to get only so far. There were things I wanted, and there were things that I really had intended to be able to do and worked hard at. You know, I'm not a lazy person. I'm not a person who just sits around just dreaming. I'm a doer. So, you know, I can chart a course and get myself, you know, somewhere. I know how to fast and to pray and to do those kinds of things. And so here I am trying to make this dream a reality and only getting so far and being set back and all the frustrations and disappointments I felt. And it forced me to have to stop and look back and say, okay, well, the common denominator in the midst of all of this would be me. And so, you know, what is it in me that needs to be adjusted? What is it in me that is even to the point of being broken, sometimes bruised, other times broken. So, you know, but it requires being able to look yourself in the mirror and remove the scales and see your real self. And sometimes what we see is not something that we really want to be able to see, and yet it is what it is. And so, you know, part of being able to live this abundant life is being able to be authentic and truthful. And so, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, with relationships, you know, what are you doing? What are you applying? You know, do you have a pretty bad attitude, you know, towards life? You know, are you optimistic? Are you, you know, have you given up your hope? You know, have you lost your faith? You know, where exactly are you on this path? Because if you can determine where you are, then you can see where it is that you want to go, and then see how far you are from that and actually kind of chart a course to get there. So we've talked about things like, you know, the need to have vision boards and people around you who are encouraging and who are into the same kinds of things that you're into, who are actually kind of further along the journey than you, so they can act as mentors. And then there are people that will, you know, you'll encourage and that will come along behind you, and you will be a mentor to those people as well. But there should always be, you should ever be the most spiritual person in your life. And if that is the case, then, you know, by all means, you know, some things are out of balance, and you'll need to, you know, to get back in balance or get some folks that can mentor you and hold you accountable and stuff like that. And so, you know, as far as, like, relationships, you know, have you thought about what you really want? One of the books I read, and it was so helpful to me, was called Soulmate Secrets, and it's by Ariel Ford. And I think the subtitle was something like, you know, attracting the mate you want through the law of attraction or something like that. You know, and so, you know, we know that the law of attraction is rooted throughout all of this. And so, you know, for people who are Christian and sometimes feel like, well, I can't really delve into all of that, you know, the laws of the universe are the laws of the universe, and God made them. And so, you know, people who adhere to the laws will reap the benefits of it. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, you know, the rain falls on both the just and the unjust, and it also says that he goes around looking and seeking whom he can, whom he's able to bless. And so, you know, and that was not necessarily, you know, predicated on being Christian or not being Christian. And so back to the law of attraction, it is a law of the universe. And so it is what it is. And so, you know, to kind of recap some of that, it is what you think about and focus on, that is what comes. So with relationships, a lot of times we think, oh, I don't want such and such. You know, I don't want someone who smokes, or I don't want someone who's short, or you know, I don't want someone who's, you know, thin or fat, or, you know, whatever. You know, you fill in the blank with, you know, with whatever those things are that you are not wanting, and you can't figure out why what you're saying that you don't want keeps manifesting. It just keeps coming to you over and over again, and that is because what you focus on is what you get more of. And so, you know, if you could flip that and say, sometimes we know what we don't want, but we haven't actually sat down to determine what it is that we do want. And so that's very important. And you'll want to look at that. And this will actually take some time for you to be able to sit down and make a list. And if there's someone that you trust that you can reveal, like, the deepest, you know, parts to yourself, to that will be an encouragement but who will also be truthful to you, that is the person that you're going to want to sit down and make your list with. So I went through that process, you know, and I thought, oh, you know, this is ridiculous. I should I should be able to know, you know, and just right off the top of my head, you know, what it is that I want, but I really needed to take time to think about it. And so, you know, you'll go through there. Now, mind you, there is no perfect person, you know, but there are people who are perfect for you even in the midst of their imperfections. And so, you know, when you put out there what it is that you actually want, then you're able to send out to the universe what it is that it needs to bring back to you. And so you'll want to do that. And then you'll want to sit down with that person that you trust and go over that list and let them help you fill in the gaps. So, you know, you go through that and you do that. And you know, we never know how long it's going to take for what it is that we're looking for to manifest. I guess that part is just not for us to know. Our part is to just do the work. I said something last week, and I wanted to kind of clean that up a little bit. I said, you know, well, I must not be where I need to be in the journey because I'm still not married yet. So let me go back to that for just a brief minute here because, first of all, I am really okay in my singleness. Do I want to be married? Yes. Am I desperate to be married? No. I have a very full and active life, and there is nothing that I am not a person who deprives myself. So I do whatever it is that I want to do. You know, if I want to travel, I travel. If I want to, you know, go somewhere, I go somewhere. I'm not sitting around waiting on someone to complete me. And so, you know, while I do desire to be married, I'm not, and so, you know, that's one thing. But I have done a lot of the work. And so the things that we talk about here on the show are things that I'm actually doing. So I try and be very transparent, you know, with you all. You know, and sometimes I'm very far along the journey, and then sometimes I'm right there walking the path right along with you. And other times I'm just, you know, just barely ahead of you. And it's okay, you know, as we are all just going about this thing, you know, together. And so when I come at you, it is from a very real place, and I'm giving it to you straight. And so what hit me after I said that was, you know, the farmer, after he has sowed the seed into the ground, whatever it is that he's trying to plant, he has to, first of all, have faith that the seeds will produce. No one they will, you know, and he continues to sow into the ground. You know, he tills the soil and he waters it, you know, or it rains or whatever. You know, he makes sure that the, you know, the weeds and stuff are not there to choke out what it is that he has sown into. But, you know, he goes on about his business and he's still just having to have faith that what it is that he has sown will actually produce. And so he sleeps and he rises and he sleeps and he rises. And then eventually, you know, one day he goes out there after having seen nothing, he'll see a little tiny bud begin to come out of the soil. And so I realized that with myself, I'm actually in that particular portion of the journey where I have sowed the seeds, and now I'm just sleeping and rising and going on about my business while whatever it is that needs to take place to die, you know, and then it has to germinate. And there's a whole chemical process, a reaction that's going on in the ground that people are not even aware of. And it looks like nothing's happening, but there are all sorts of things that are happening after that seed has been sown. And so that's where I am. And so I guess that's supposed to be an encouragement to you, for those of you who have been doing the work and who are putting forth the effort to be able to attract something different than what you have attracted before. Don't give up. You know, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged, because you never know the day that you'll wake up and it will have produced what it is that you are waiting for it to produce. You know, and so you've sown the seeds and you're watering it and you're taking care of the ground. But all that stuff underneath the surface is actually still happening. You know, the universe kinds of stuff, you know, stuff that really is beyond our control, you know. But the timing of when it actually manifests, well, I guess that's not really our business. That's God's own business, and he chooses to deal with that. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that he changes the times and seasons, and they are in his hands. And so I guess that's some stuff that we get to deal with, that your times and seasons are in his hands, and he changes them. So, you know, when you are in your season of reaping, you know that you will, but he determines when it is that you will reap. Now, one of the things that is important to know is you have to determine what season you're in. You know, you may want someone right now, but you may not actually be in the season to reap. You may be in the season to sow. You may be in the season to heal. And so if you can pinpoint where you are and know where it is that you are, you know, then at that point you'll be able to know what's kind of going on and what's required of you. And so, you know, if you are thinking that you're in one season of your life, but you're really in a different frustration, so it's important for you to know where you are so that you can put forth the effort that is conducive for growth in that season. And eventually, you know, as life is, we all come full circle. We just do what it is that we need to do. And eventually you get to the season where it's your time to, you know, to reap what it is that you have sown. And so, you know, this is when we want to step back and look and see. And so I want to talk a little bit about vision boards. And so you think, what in the world does a vision board have to do with a relationship? Everything. You know, once you figure out what it is that you want, you know, we know that not only do we need a positive confession, that we have to keep our mouth pointed in the direction that we want, you know, to have manifested in our lives. We said, you know, months prior, that our tongue is like a rudder, and a rudder is just a very small member, but it actually points a ship in the direction that it's going to go in. So you want to use your rudder, the rudder of your mouth, in the direction that you want to go. If you want healthy relationships, then you will be speaking, you know, healthy relationships into your life. And not only that, when you see positive things happening in the life of other people, you know, even though sometimes it feels like a knife has just been just pushed right into your gut and twisted, you know, as you're waiting and you're going through your process and you know where you've been and you know where you are and you're hurting and all those kinds of stuff, it can be difficult and painful to see someone else progressing and having the things that it is that you feel that you want or that you deserve, and you still aren't there yet. But I'm still here to tell you, don't lose heart. Don't lose your faith. Don't think that it's not working. Don't think that God's not moving on your behalf. Don't think that he doesn't care what it is that you want and that you desire. He does. You just you know, part of the seeds that you're sowing is, can you sow love into the lives of other people even as you are hurting? And so, you know, sometimes we have to just do sacrificial offerings, and that would very well be a sacrificial offering. If you are, you know, barely able to, you know, to make ends meet and to keep yourself in the right frame of mind, but, you know, here your friend or someone you know or even your enemy, you know, seems like they have gotten what it is that you want, bless them anyway. You know, they don't even have to know, but you can take that time and sow prayers of love and health and healing and, you know, healthy communication and, you know, all the things that we know the areas that the enemy attacks in relationships. And so, you know, just pray that those unions would be strong and secure and unbreakable, because those are the very things that you want in your own relationship, you know, and you never know who has the wherewithal to be praying those kinds of things over you. So you're just sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds into the lives of other people. You're also sowing seeds into your own life and into your own relationship. And so, you know, even though it seems like, you know, when is it going to be my turn, we're not really supposed to focus on that. We're supposed to just continue on, you know, and you want to just bless those people even as you would want to be blessed. You know, just speak good things about them, you know, and speak good things about what it is that God is doing in their life. And here's something that sometimes we miss, and that is when we are approaching our time and we are approaching our season, we will notice that whatever it is that's supposed to be manifesting will be all around us. It seems like people will shift and change, and the atmosphere around you changes. You know, if you are a person who is wanting to have a child, it seems like everybody around you is pregnant or they just had a baby, you know, or whatever. And so all of those kinds of things are signs. You know, you have to kind of pay attention to the signs and things that are all around you. And so that's the universe's way of letting you know, hey, pay attention. You know, the things that you are wanting are right here in your grasp. You know, you have gotten to the point where you are attracting others around you who have the things that you want. So you're close. Don't lose heart. You're close. Your people are getting married. You're close. Your time is right here. We don't know exactly when that day will come or what it is that we are supposed to, you know, when it all will just manifest and gel and come together. But we do know that it is there and that it is going to come. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Living Abundantly with Tanika Patrice Kane. And we are talking about, we are in the midst of our healthy relationship series. And so we are talking about tonight things that the foundational principles that we've laid over the last few months since starting the series, the show, and how the law of attraction and the things that we think and the people that we surround ourselves with, how all of those things tie into us being able to have healthy relationships. And so we are talking about those kinds of things tonight. And so, you know, you need to figure out what season you're in. If you are in a season where you need to kind of clean some stuff up, if you are in a season where you need to just sow some seeds into some other people, if you need to take this time and, you know, read some books and clean your house out, literally clean your house out. You know, I have this analogy that if you want to get a new car, you don't wait until you get the car to clean the garage up. You actually clean the garage up beforehand to make room for the car. So what is going on in the garage of your life that your ability to have the relationship that you're seeking? Are you still holding on to old love from the past? You know, is there someone who just has your heart and your nose is still wide open and you can't really get beyond where it is that you are into what it is that's coming because you're still emotionally wrapped up with somebody else. You have soul ties and things like that. You know, that's something that's important. That's something that you don't want to just ignore and just leave to chance. That's something that you actually have to work through. And it requires something other than just yourself. You know, that one requires divine intervention. That one requires prayer and really just kind of seeking the face of God and saying, okay, you know, I have this situation and I feel this way about this person, but I really want to move on with my life and I need you to clean this up for me. You know, I can't do this by myself. I need you literally to even remove even the root of whatever it was that has been there and active in my life where this person is concerned. I need you to pluck it out and pulverize it, you know, just literally just until there's nothing left. It's just the dust that even a gentle wind could go and blow it all away. And your God being God, he will, because if you are, when you get honest about wanting answers, you know, and you seek him and you really want the truth, he's real quick to make sure that you get the answers that it is that you were seeking and that you get the help that it is that you need. And so he promises that he will not leave us without help. And all he requires is that we be sincere in the things that we ask of and that we do what he tells us to do. And so if he's saying to you, you know, hey, you've got this unresolved issue over here with this person, you need to go ahead and deal with that. And so, you know, because you don't want to bring relationships are not easy. And so you don't want to bring all kinds of unnecessary old stuff into a new relationship. You know, that's just, it's just unnecessary. And so, you know, why have that level of drama? You know, there are books on the market to be read, you know, and so, and this is the time when you need to just be, you know, sensitive to the Spirit. And he will lead you to what it is that you need for you. And because he knows the partner that's supposed to be coming to you, he knows what the needs are of that person. So, you know, this is the time when you just quiet yourself and you just, you know, you don't have to do it alone. And that's such a blessing to not have to do the relationship thing alone, you know. And so if you want to know the purpose of a thing and want to know how a thing works, you don't ask the thing. You ask the one who created the thing. And so, you know, it's so wonderful to be able to actually partner with God where your relationships are concerned because he knows in your life. He knows. And so if he says to you, be quiet, then you know what? Be quiet. It's not the right time. And whatever it is that you're going to say or the way you're going to say it, it's not going to make the proper impact. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to do more harm than good. So just hush. And he'll give you the words, or he'll give you the time, you know, to just do something. And so it'll just be a matter of you just obeying and saying, okay, you know, and so when he says, oh, no, go ahead and broach that subject now. And then you can. And the person will be ready. And it won't be any conflict or ill will or anything like that, you know. And so it's a good thing to be able to, you know, to really delve in and to know and to get insight into a person and what it is that they need. Because you have God as your partner, and he's the one who created that person, just like he created you. And so, you know, scripture that talks about a three-cord strand is not easily broken. And so the three cords would actually be you and your partner. And the third cord is God in the form of the Holy Spirit, you know, who comes to give wisdom and correction and direction and encouragement and whatever it is that we need. He has not left us here without help. We literally, as a matter of fact, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the helper. He is, you know, he is the helper. And so, you know, we have what it is that we need right here, and we just have to call upon him and then do what he says. And so, you know, it's nice to not have to everything by ourselves, and you know, we don't have to do so much trial and error. Well, we can literally just seek the one who made everything, and he'll give an answer, you know. And so you need to do that, and you're doing that not only for whatever those loose ends are that are left unresolved in your life, but you're doing that also for the person who's coming into your life. If that person is doing that, you know, regarding you, then you have a really great thing that's happening here. So often we get caught up in, what about me? You know, don't I matter? Sure, of course you matter, you know. But you are not supposed to come into a relationship thinking about getting your own needs met. Your responsibility and your thought process should be on, how can I be a blessing to this person who's coming into my life? I have been blessed with a gift. You know, from God, this relationship is a gift, this person is a gift, how can I be a blessing to this person? And so, you know, in the back of your mind, you're probably thinking, yeah, but if I'm focusing on meeting this person's needs, you know, who the heck is meeting my needs? Well, God meets your needs. And so if you are focused on meeting the needs of your partner and you are doing the things that God's telling you to do and you're listening and you're praying for that person and God's giving you insight and direction into what that person needs and you're actually, like, doing it, you know, and if the person is doing the same thing, you know, focusing on what your needs are, oh, doesn't that sound like, you know, everybody's needs are getting met, you know, and no one's getting left out of anything because you are putting the needs of your partner first, you know. And so, as a matter of fact, there's like a, there's an acronym, JOY, which stands for Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And I know that's typically the complete opposite of how it is that we are structured to have our lives, you know, run and how we have been raised and things like that. You know, we're kind of allowed to just be selfish and self-centered, but, you know, that stuff doesn't really serve a purpose. And I have a child, she's 5 years old, and, you know, periodically I go here with people because, you know, part of a job of a parent is to see the areas of weakness in that child, you know, or the areas that are character flaws in that child, and without breaking their spirit, bring correction, you know. And so things like that, character issues don't just go away. You know, those are things that, if left to their own devices, they just get worse. They get worse, they get deeper. You know, someone who was throwing tantrums at 4, who never got that stuff checked, will still throw tantrums at 44, you know, when they can't get their way. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I have no desire to see some 44-year-old or whatever, you know, 54, 104-year-old still throwing tantrums and stuff. So you can kind of sit back and kind of watch how and know how people were raised because, you know, their behaviors don't go away if they have been unchecked. And so, you know, we're just saying all of that because, you know, there are things that we may have been allowed to just flow in and to just be in, like, all of our lives, and yet, you know that it's an area that God is dealing with you, and he's saying, hey, you know, that doesn't really fit in with what it is I'm trying to do in your life. And that right there, that little character issue that you have right there, that's really going to interfere in your relationship with this person I'm sending you to. So let me have that. And so, you know, whatever the things are that it is he's saying as you're cleaning out your garage, preparing for this new car relationship, you know, to come on into your life, you know, just go ahead and let it go. It's something that just needs to be let go. And so, you know, you're better off without it. Sometimes we hold on to things. But a while ago, I cleaned out my storage. And so at one point, I needed all of the things that I had. I had about 3,000 square feet worth of space that I was furnishing and stuff like that. I had a business. And so I had a ton of stuff. And I downsized, and I ended up in a place that wasn't even quite 1,000 square feet. So I've got, you know, trying to fit most of what I need in my life currently in the space that I'm living in, but I still have all this stuff that I had in storage. And so I'm paying, you know, and I had a pretty large storage because, of course, I had a lot of stuff, you know. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I will go ahead, and I can. This is good stuff. I can sell this stuff, you know. So I had been holding on to it, never realizing exactly how much it was costing me to keep that storage going, and how much it was costing me to keep that stuff that I wasn't even using. It was costing me, you know. And so I got ready to. I went over to the storage one day, and it just completely overwhelmed me. I'm thinking, what in the world, and how do I even get started with this? And so I prayed, like, okay, I need some direction here. I am feeling completely overwhelmed, and I don't even know where to start. And the Lord just said, just give the stuff away. And I'm thinking, but I need the money. I could use the money for other stuff. Do you know how many projects I have going on, and I've got this book, and I need to market, and, you know, and all this stuff. And yet, when I quieted myself, it let me know, you know, was it really worth the cost that I had been paying to hold on to those things? And so, it actually ended up being a huge blessing for me because now I have downsized to only the things that I love. You know, I had stuff that I really liked, but now I have the stuff that I love. And so, you know, it was good. And so we need to do that even when relationships are concerned. We just have so much stuff. Just stuff. And, you know, it's costing us. It may not be costing you the price I was paying for my storage each month, but it's costing you in peace. It's costing you in joy. It's costing you in allowing new love to come in. It's costing you in so many different areas. And so are you willing to let it go? And so I was on Facebook earlier today, and someone had posted something about some experience that she had. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's great. And it really was a wonderful testimony. And so I wrote her and was just thanking her for sharing it. And then a line from years ago popped into my head, and it was, love is letting go of fear. You know, if we really understood the power of love, you know. And so I had read something many, many years ago, and I wasn't sure I really believed it at the time. Not fully, but I never forgot it, apparently, because it came back up today. But the person was saying there are only two emotions. There's love and there's fear. And so I'm thinking, what? You know, what does this have to do with that? You know, what? But then when I sit down and I have had a chance to really kind of process things that I have seen as I've gotten older, things I've lived through, you know, stuff like that, I think it's valid, you know. And so, you know, for the person who is jealous, well, that's a fear that you're going to give more of your time to someone else than you are to them. Yeah, that's a fear, you know. For the person who is envious, they are that you are going to that you're going to end up with something they want, and there won't be enough of it left over for them. That they might somehow or another be left out of the equation when it comes down, you know, for things to be for blessings and stuff. Not realizing that first of all, you know, every blessings are endless. God is so huge. You know, he's not, there isn't just one thing. You know, there is more than enough in the universe for all of us to have whatever it is that we want. And so there's no need for us to envy someone else. Yeah, somebody else might get it before you, but that doesn't mean that you won't be able to have it too. We have all these fears, you know, for the person who needs to be validated, needs to, you know, have someone, you know, dropping their name all the time. And, you know, you didn't mention me here. You didn't say that about me there. You know, It's fear-based. You know, it's the fear of, you know, you are going to usurp me, or it's the fear that, you know, you're going to go further along without me, or, you know, I opened up this door for you, you know, you forgot all about me. Well, no, not exactly. You know, not everything is about you. And so, you know, but those are the kinds of things that we bring in to relationships. That's the kind of stuff that's clogging up the garage of our lives, and God's saying, hey, you don't need that stuff. Give me that. You know, that insecurity, that doesn't really serve you very well. You know, you don't really need that. That person, and the person you're dealing with hasn't given you any reason to be insecure. So, yeah, let me have that. You know, give me that ego. Yeah, right. Put that right there, let me have that. You don't really need that ego. You know, why are you name-dropping, and why are you throwing all this stuff in, you know, into stuff that doesn't have anything to do with that? Why are you doing that? You know, don't you know that all blessings come from me, that I am the one who blesses you and blesses other people too, that you don't own anything? You know, you don't, everything is mine, that you're just a steward, so why are you being territorial about something that I own? You know, and so he'll get in there, and he'll get down and dirty with some stuff, you know, but you know God. It'll come across very loving, but he still means business. And he's like, hey, let's clean house. So, you know, tonight we're going to just get those garages cleaned out because it's necessary. And there are other areas. You know, how are you talking to people? You know, are you a good listener? You know, can you stop talking long enough to actually hear what somebody else has to say? You know, are you over-talking? You know, did you hear anything the person had to say? If they told you a whole lot, did you hear them? You know, those are the kinds of things that we just don't need to hold on to, you know, and while they may not be the end of the world kinds of stuff, you know, it is stuff that can erode a relationship down over time, And so he'll say, you know, let me have that. Those things are not really very productive. There's a scripture that talks about not allowing the little foxes to spoil the vine. And so, you know, that means the little things, you know. And it's funny how we'll just magnify and just blow up so monumental when really it's just a little pebble. You know, it's not a mountain. It's literally just a little pebble. And so, and it doesn't have to have that level of importance, certainly not to the point where we would be willing to, you know, end a relationship and stuff like that over it. Now, you know, I mean, there are, you know, deal breakers, stuff like, you know, cheating and lying and, you know, violence and stuff like that. You know, those are not little pebbles. You know, those are not the little foxes he's talking about. That's big stuff, you know. But, you know, someone not picking their socks up, that's a small thing, you know. Just little things like that. And so we're going to just focus on some stuff. But I brought that up because there are books to read. There's a couple that are coming on my mind right now. And one of the books I would encourage all of you to go out, if you haven't already, is the Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Excellent read. And he, even though it is, I mean, he's a PhD and all that kind of stuff, it reads very easy. And it talks about being able to meet a person's love language. We don't all express love or receive love in the same way. And so, you know, it's important to be able to know how your partner receives love so that you can love them the way they need to be loved. You know, how many times have you felt like, you know, I'm giving my everything to this and I'm getting nothing back? And it's not that you may not be getting anything back. The person just may not know how to love you the way you need to be loved. And so, you know, more than likely that person is loving you the way they need to be loved, not necessarily the same way that you need to be loved. And so, you know, that book would really help to kind of shed some light on that. So, again, that was The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Excellent reading, and I recommend that for anyone thinking about getting into a relationship. And the truth is, you know, it applies to any kind of relationship, you know, relationships with parents and relationships with children, relationships among friends. You know, it just really teaches you how to meet people right where they are and to be able to love them how they need to be loved. Okay. And so I'll just kind of, yes, that's one of the books. And then there is not really a companion book, but there is another one called The Languages of Apology. And, yeah, that's really interesting because, you know, we make mistakes. And so we want to make sure that when we are, you know, repenting and going and we are trying to, you know, to make amends with the person, that we are doing it in a way that they will be able to receive it. And so just like a person has a way that they receive love and to know that they are loved the best, the languages of apology. And those are the two that are kind of on my mind right now. There is a third one, and it's called Love and Respect, and it's by Emerson Eggerich, E-G-G-E-R-I-C-H, Emerson Eggerich. And it just talks about the difference between, you know, men's need to be respected and women's need to be loved. And so you know, in most cases, you know, women are so easy to love, but your respect doesn't come easy for us. You know, we don't even always recognize when we're being disrespectful, you know, and we're thinking, you know, we're just, you know, we're fine or whatever. We have really just, you know, slaughtered our man, not trying to, and just not trying to. So, you know, we need to know how the other person processes so that we can be more effective. And so, you know, and men are very good at respect, but not always very good at loving. And so, you know, scripture tells men to love their wives and, you know, like Christ loves the church. That's a very selfless love. You know, it's a giving love. And, you know, but if you're in selfish mode and it's all about you, then her needs are going to go unmet and then problems arise unnecessarily, you know. And so it tells, scripture tells women, you know, to see that they respect their husband, so he knows that that doesn't come as second. It's not second nature to us. We don't really think like that. And so he tells you, it was kind of a warning. Hey, make sure you're doing this. And for the men, hey, make sure you love her. You know, she, you take care of her and love her as like the weaker vessel. Don't be dogging her out. Don't talk to her, you know, any kind of way. You know, she's, you realize that she's precious. Like I created her as a gift, you know, for you. But don't mistreat her. You know, don't take her for granted. You know, yes, you know, she's there to be a helper to you, you know, but you are supposed to dwell with her according to knowledge. And so, you know, you need to step back and really just ask me about her, you know, ask how she ticks and study her and see what, you know, what makes her happy, you know, what makes her sad, you know, did you say something to her, did she clean the house and, you know, prepared this great meal and you just blew her off and went in there and sat down and watched TV and never even thanked her? Did you pay attention? Dwell with her according to knowledge. Learn about her. The scripture says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. He who finds. And so that's not something that happens just one time. That's a process that continues to happen. You just keep finding. And you just keep finding things that are within her. But it also says that, you know, if you have been able to, because not every man finds a wife. Not every woman is a wife. But he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Not everybody has favor either. And so, you know, he is saying that he is giving you special grace to be able to have that. So you certainly don't want to just throw that gift away. You don't want to throw that favor away. You know, and so if you understand your purpose in that, relationships really can be a beautiful thing, and a beautiful thing. And so, you know, I don't get into the whole, you know, male bashing, all that kind of stuff. I don't think that men are stupid. You know, I don't think that they don't do anything right. You know, all the stuff that media feeds us that we're supposed to think about, I don't think they're duds. I don't think any of that. You know, I think that they are created with a completely different purpose than women. And I think that with a little understanding, you know, we're supposed to seek wisdom. We're supposed to get understanding. With a little understanding, a little wisdom, you know, we can learn how to dwell with each other. We are supposed to complement each other. We're not supposed to be the same. And so, you know, for a woman to expect a man to, you know, act just like her, well, that's not going to be, because that's not his purpose. He's not supposed to act like her. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, relationships that work, he's strong in areas where you're weak and vice versa, you know. And so there are things that are really, that just come second nature to women. And there are things that come second nature to men. And when we understand the purpose of relationships and the purpose of a man and of a woman, then it helps us to be able to say, okay, all right, I understand, you know, what's happening here. You know, we are, he could be presenting something and it seems like the conversation is going one way. You know, you may need a little wisdom how to broach it so that the two of you can be on one accord, but you're seeing it and you need to see it from two different angles. You know, you don't need someone who just sees everything exactly the same way you see. You need someone who sees the areas that could be wrong. You see someone who can catch the gaps, who can catch the things that might blow up in your face. You need someone who can see that. And so, not made us exactly alike. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to complement one another. And so, you know, these are the things that we are learning. And so, you know, if you sit back and you ask God, okay, what is it that the person, you know who's coming into my life, what is it that this person needs from me most? Please equip me with that. Please know that he will. You know, he will be so clip on that. You will find yourself doing different things. Even before your mate comes into your life, you can still pray for him. You know, what is it that this person needs today? You know, and sometimes because, you know, when people are spiritually connected, you can sense, you know, you can sense stuff and you can feel things. And so even now before that person even comes into your life, you have the habit of praying for that spouse who's coming. You can, you know, help uplift them and encourage them and, you know, and pray for their connections and their relationships and, you know, and just that things will go well for them and business and whatever else it is that is needed, whatever it is that the Lord lays on your heart to pray for that person, even before he or she ever even comes into your life. You can lay a foundation of prayer because you know, already the two of you are connected. You just haven't met yet. And so, you know, or maybe you haven't met yet, you know, whatever. And so you can do those kinds of things, you know. And so back to this vision board there for a minute, you know, and vision boards are relatively, you know, inexpensive. You just go through magazines and, you know, see things that it is that you want. And so, you know, what is it that you want to be able to do with your spouse? You know, do you want to dance? You know, do you want to see yourself, you know, old and gray together and happy? You know, those are the kinds of things that you want to put on your board. You know, are there places that you want to go with your spouse? Is there something that you want to do with your spouse? You know, do you see yourself with children and then grandchildren later on? Those are the kinds of things that you can put on your board. What is it that you want? You know, sometimes we get so focused on the wedding that we don't think about the marriage. You know, the wedding lasts a day. You know, I'm not one of those ones who's really into, you know, let's spend, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on one day, you know, and you don't even have a house to live in. You know, that's kind of crazy, but I'm practical. So that flies in the face of my practicalities, okay? So, you know, that doesn't quite work for me. I'm not saying that it has to be anything chintzy. I don't do chintzy, but I'm saying priorities are important, you know, and so the day, the wedding day, is not more important than the marriage, and important to the marriage, you know. And so that many years being alone, longing, wanting, hoping, dreaming, praying, you know, wanting to be in a different place and longing for the time when we would be. And so there are things that we can do that can make the transition and the journey that we have into togetherness, there are things that we can do, you know, that will make that process easier for us. Now, you don't want to have gone through years and crying yourself to sleep and all this other kind of stuff and not do the simple stuff that would keep things going and keep things fresh and keep things lively. There are a couple other books that are crossing my mind right now, you know, of men and women and stuff like that. And Miles Monroe has several books. One is called The Power and Purpose of a Man, or Men, and the other is The Power and Purpose of Women. And then there's a third one, The Power and Purpose of Marriage. And you have to get your hands on those. You know, it will really help you to understand, you know, what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, how they're wired, what their purpose on the planet is, why are they even here. And so you're not going into anything blind. I'm all about making informed decisions about stuff. You know, don't just be out there just haphazardly just doing some things. No, do the research, go deep, you know, find out what's really going on, and then make your decisions based on an educated you know, decision, not just, you know, fly by night. And, you know, so those are some good ones. So, again, the books that I've talked about tonight are the three of these are by Miles Monroe, and that is The Power and Purpose of Men, The Power and Purpose of Women, The Power and Purpose of Marriage. Those three, we talked about The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, and also The Languages of Apology by Gary Chapman. And the sixth one was Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerich. And so if you can get your hands on those books, that would be really good reading, and reading that will kind of change your paradigm and how you're thinking about things. And so it's good. So even though, you know, Derek was not able to be with us this week, maybe he'll get a chance to chime in with us next week. It will be Thanksgiving Day, but we are still hosting the show. And so, you know, we'll be doing that. And, you know, Derek, thank you so much for calling in. I don't know if you can even hear me or not, but hopefully whatever this issue is that we're having here with the switchboard, their internal process or whatever will be straightened out so that we don't have to deal with this next week. But I have so enjoyed the lessons and the things that I am learning during this series that we're doing. And for those of you who are not following me but wish to do so, you can find me on Facebook. I am Tamika Patrice Kane, so that's T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E-K-C-A-I-N, and you'll get a chance to see all kinds of things that we're posting on my fan page about relationship. He's posting things daily. He's got some really profound insights. You will really enjoy those teachings. And if you are interested in following him directly, you can go to facebook.com/ D-A is in David Knows, K-N-O-W-S, number 2. So again, that's facebook.com/ D-Knows 2, D-K-N-O-W-S, number 2. Okay. And on Twitter, he is Derek. He is at Derek Klein. So it's D-E-R-E-K-Q-U-I-N-C-E on Twitter. You can follow him there. And I am at Tanika Patrice on Twitter. Then, of course, you know, you can always go to my website and, you know, access the calendar and read my blog posts and find out information about the book and other things that are going on and upcoming stuff. That, and that's TanikaPatrice.com. And so my new project has been the Say What Book Club. So excited about it. It gives me an opportunity to be able to work with and to feature both established and emerging authors. And so, you know, there are some really amazing people out there who have not, you know, hit the mainstream, but they have some really good materials. And so I'm glad to be able to work with them. And so how the book club is set up, we do meet, well, starting January, we will meet the third Sunday of every month in Westland, for those who are in the Detroit area, at the Panera, located at Westland Mall, from 3 to 5. That's the third Sunday every month, where we will discuss whatever the monthly featured read is. On the fourth Sunday, from 3 to 3:30, I have a second radio show, and it's called Say What Author Spotlight, where I will be interviewing the author of the month. And so, you know, it gives you an opportunity to be able to, you know, to connect with them and hear what, you know, hear what they're talking about and, you know, find out their projects and stuff like that. And, you know, writers tend to be pretty pretty down to earth, so it'll be real interesting. And so our first book that we are reading will be Destiny's Surrender, Beverly Jenkins. I just love her writing. She does black historical romance. And so we're doing we're reading her book, and she'll be on the show and all that. So we're really looking forward to that. But we are more than just a book club. We are a community as well. And so we are able to, we have a group on Facebook. And so that you can find us at facebook.com/groups/ Say What Book Club. And feel free to join us, because throughout the month, the authors will, you know, chime in and they post things. And it's great, because we get a chance to have readers and writers and lovers of words all in one place. So I will go ahead and end this, but you have yourself a great week, and I hope that you have found something here that will help you to go on to the next phase, and that you found some encouragement. While you're at it, go ahead and encourage someone else, and, of course, make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.